members of the Denver Board of Education are debating a resolution that would limit the role of police officers in Denver schools. Schools in Minneapolis and Portland, Oregon have already gone a step further, voting to end or limit the use of police on campus. Here's Jenny Arneson, vice chair of the Minneapolis School Board.
We're being called upon to be clear that we cannot have contracts with organizations that allow a culture that does not value the human life of its Black citizens.
Let's bring in Jonathan Steth. He's national director of the Alliance for Educational Justice, a group advocating for police-free schools. And Jonathan, what would it look like, and would you like to see all of these officers gone from schools, or do you think there should be some schools that actually have officers?
Oh, that's always a great question. Safety is not brought by police, particularly for Black and brown students who, as of 2014, now make up the majority of public school students. So mm-hmm. when you ask the question, under our vision, absolutely. Like, we believe, and the young people who have been organizing believe that there's a way that we can bring and have safety in school that doesn't involve police violence, doesn't involve massive criminalization, doesn't involve racist discipline.
Can you go further there? Because what I'm hearing you say is that having a police officer in a school doesn't make it safer. And in fact, it maybe adds to this idea of seeing kids as criminals. Is that what you're saying? Can you give me an example of that?
Absolutely. Since 2015, the Alliance kind of got involved in this work around advocating for police-free schools with the assault at Spring Valley, which was the recorded brutality of a Black student, Black girl, Shakara, by Officer Fields at the time, who strangled her and then body slammed her. And then when Nia Kinney, a high school student at the time, tried to interject and stop the brutality, she was arrested. For many of us, that raised the issue around policing and how it's used. We're seeing young people, particularly Black and Latino youth, being brutalized by school police and being arrested for what is normal adolescent behavior, stuff that should be handled by a counselor, stuff that should be even handled by family. And for many young folk in our alliance, it's really like these are opportunities for restorative justice. Even with what we've seen with the root of kind of school shootings, right? We've seen just as many school shootings be diffused by a counselor or a caring adult as we have seen by supposedly police officers. And most of the time, like we saw with Parkland, was a complete failure around police officers to actually keep young people safe. And that wasn't the only one case that happened around that time. And so I think there's a real question, a real reckoning around what are police doing in our schools? What are they really doing? Who are they really there for? And I think part of our challenge to schools and is how do we offer a different lesson around what is possible for creating safety that, again, doesn't come with the cost of the criminalization and the brutality that gets visited upon Black and brown students.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about your alternative vision for how to make sure students and faculty are safe at school. Mm-hmm. Does it involve any kind of security personnel at all?
Mm-hmm. I think what we would point to is the work of the Black Organizing Project out in Oakland. They have offered us what they call the People's Plan that calls for the replacement of security as well as police officers with community peace builders. Our movement, particularly in the education justice movement, has a long legacy of groups who've been doing community peace building, leading restorative justice programs in schools. Again, that was something that was stripped away post-Parkland by the DeVos administration, is kind of blaming restorative justice for school shootings. But mostly we're guided by, there's a saying that we say that comes to us from a young person that we lost named George Carter III. And he always imagined schools that had mood detectors instead of metal detectors. And it's that kind of orientation, that kind of transformative vision of what safety can look like in our schools for Black and brown youth and for really all young people is what we're really striving to generate. And a lot of it is still to be organized for, realized, and built.
That's Jonathan Stith. He is National Director of the Alliance for Educational Justice. Jonathan, thank you so much.
Thank you.